Welcome to College Football Truth Day. I'm Riley Ruby from Chicago Sports Network.
And I'm Lincoln Stevens from American Football Network.
We hope that you will be following us all throughout the season as we pick the winners of the major college football matchups. Make sure you check out our YouTube channels and follow us on our podcast to make sure that you never miss another episode of College Football Truth Day.
Make sure you're following along. We really appreciate all of you guys' support. We'll take a quick ad break and we'll be right back with all the action.
Welcome back. We are recapping week one of the college football season. Thank you for joining us with week two of College Football Truth Day. So let's get into some of our week one picks and what was our big successes and not so much. So there are a lot of games that really challenged what we thought coming into the season with North Carolina, Georgia and Clemson was a big one, Penn State and Wisconsin, Iowa looks really good. So you have a lot of games here. Texas is on the rise to a degree. So what do you think about week one here, Lincoln?
You know, I made a couple bad picks. I picked East Carolina. Probably should have went App State there. App State, I was expecting Chase Bryce to make some bad decisions and some bad throws, but he didn't. He got the better of Holton Ahlers, and I kind of expected the opposite. Also, North Carolina, man, I did not see that coming anywhere, and I don't think anybody else did as well. Man, you got lucky with the LA Tech-Mississippi State game. That field goal just barely missed for Louisiana Tech. I had Louisiana Tech. You obviously had Mississippi State. So, but I would say my best pick of last week was when I took UTSA to beat Illinois. A lot of people were taking Illinois. I didn't hear of anybody picking UTSA, and you, of course, took Illinois. But I had faith in the Roadrunners, and they got the job done.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy with my picks. I went 12-7, maybe 13-3 after the game tonight. But I think that I was pretty happy with them. I kind of went along with the crowd with Clemson and Wisconsin and Houston and West Virginia, Illinois and UNC. So I may take a little bit of more risk in a couple of my picks here. We'll see whether that works out, but I'm pretty happy with the record that I have, and I beat you in all of our one-on-one picks except for the Illinois game, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I went a little rogue in a lot of them, obviously taking Louisiana Tech, taking Northwestern, taking East Carolina. I expected those teams to play better than they did, but obviously they didn't, and most of the country got those games right. But it's a long season. I went 9-10, maybe hopefully 10-10 after this Ole Miss Louisville game tonight. But hopefully I'm going to be able to get back on track. It's a long season. I think I'll get the better of you. At least probably looking at this week, I think I'll get the better of you this week.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. I have looks like a 3-game lead on you no matter what, whether Ole Miss wins or loses. So why don't we talk about our teams a little bit here? So there is obviously some hurt Clemson fans here and some a little bit of shock and awe for Notre Dame fans. So I think it's a good time to kind of recap what happened, and our heart rates are still racing a little bit from both of our games. So why don't you start off with Clemson, Georgia, and then we'll work our way into the craziness of that Notre Dame game last night.
Yeah, so this is coming from a Clemson fan. You know, the defense, I really like the defense. We looked well two nights ago. I love the way especially the secondary and the D-line. The D-line wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Of course, Tyler Davis being out really hurt. And both Nolan Turner was out for the entire game. Xander's missed most of the game on that one play. That ended his night. He about broke his neck on that one tackle. That was definitely a scary moment. But, yeah, so the defense played like I expected. I expected them to stop Georgia's offense. The offense was the big question mark. To me, that baffled everybody because the offensive line played terrible. It seemed like every single time that DJ dropped back to throw, somebody was getting pressure on him, and he just didn't look like he it, the game, like the announcers kept saying, the game just looked like it was fast for him. He didn't really look like he was ready for this game, and the receivers weren't playing the best football either. Now, obviously, Joseph Ngata had a huge game, the best game of his career. He finally looked like what he was supposed to be out of high school. So maybe that's the bright spot on offense, I would say. But the announcers kept talking about how Clemson's run game, how they couldn't get a run game going. But the reason they couldn't get a run game going, in my opinion, was they weren't running the ball. They ran the ball 9 times, not counting scrambles from DJ when he dropped back to pass, but 9 pure run, like 9 design runs, only 9 times the entire game. I think that definitely needs to change. But I think, especially with us getting South Carolina State next week, we're going to be able to toy around with some stuff. And I expect this offense to be rolling by the time that we go on the road to NC State in week 3.
So I think that there's some big progress that needs to happen, especially with the Clemson offense. The biggest concern that I have is that right now Clemson is looking on the inside, are looking on the outside in on the college football playoffs now. I think that Clemson, for the first time, I think in their history of the playoff picture, they're looking out. They're on the outside looking in of the playoff. Which is something kind of weird for Clemson, because I think they're going to need a team to lose here or there. And we'll see what happens there. I don't want to get into too many hypotheticals because it is week 1 still. But before I get into Notre Dame, I just remembered we kind of got to talk a little bit about Oklahoma here before we get into the Notre Dame game. Another fantastic matchup. With that game being a kind of a crazy one with what happened with Hurricane Ida and the terrible stuff that happened there. With that being it was supposed to be a home game for Tulane, but it ended up being played up there in Norman, Oklahoma. And Oklahoma about took the L there. So I think that, does this concern you about Oklahoma at all, especially their defense? They did not look very good at all.
I think part of it was what happened last year. They definitely didn't look good last year at the start of the season. They looked very slow. But yeah, I think they're going to be better, obviously. They're going to be better, obviously, as the season goes on. But Rattler didn't look good at all. So I expect him to get better. But, yeah, that was definitely a scary game if you are a Oklahoma fan, because, man, that Tulane quarterback was just inches away from getting the first down.
Okay, well, one last thing before we get into a quick ad break and our final into our top three matchups. That Notre Dame game, good Lord, my heart was racing about 200 miles an hour in that game. But I will say that I'm pretty excited just to be out of that game, mostly because it's going to be 2 more weeks, 3 weeks technically. Until the Wisconsin game, because I don't think of Purdue as Toledo as more than just kind of warm-up games. I think they could be, especially with how that offense looked, I'm pretty excited about that offense. It looked really exciting. It looked like there were a lot of good pass plays. The only problem that I have is the rhythm of the plays was very off. There was a lot of runs almost completely, and then there was a lot of passes almost completely. I think the second and third quarter play calling was fantastic, but I do have a few concerns about the Notre Dame just kind of sitting back there and acting like they already won the game at the beginning of that fourth quarter when they were winning by 18. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, but generally I think that there was a lot of good takeaways from this game. Excited about Kyle Hamilton and his 2 interceptions. Excited about Jack Cohn. He played really well. And most excited I am about Kevin Austin, a guy that has really struggled throughout his Notre Dame career, either with injuries or suspensions or all sorts of stuff. Finally, he is back on the team and healthy. I'm really excited about him. So is there anything you want to add before we go to a quick ad break?
No, I think we
No, I
can go
think we can
ahead
go
and
ahead.
take us an ad break.
Okay, that sounds good.
Welcome back, everybody, to College Football Truth Day. We are now looking at, we're now projecting or talking about the three biggest games of week two in the college football world. So let's start off with game number one, Oregon at Ohio State. Or actually, we'll save that one for last, or the middle or something, because it's probably going to be the better one. Let's start off with the probably least hyped of the two in Texas versus Arkansas. So what are your thoughts on this game?
So my thoughts really consist of how good is Arkansas really? Because I think that if they if their quarterback in I'm blanking on his name here, if their quarterback KJ Jefferson can really start to get a good offense going, he has the wide receivers, the weapons overall to be able to have a dynamic offense. With Treylon Burks and Treylon Smith at running back. So I think that is as long as you can get those weapons going, I expect an Arkansas win here. But we'll see whether he can get those weapons going, but we'll see. What do you think about this game? Especially on the defensive end. So it seems to be a pretty big improvement between the two teams, in generally in college football on the defensive end.
Yeah, so last week, obviously, I was expecting Louisiana. I think both of us were expecting Louisiana to win against Texas, but Texas defense really showed up and shut down a really solid offense. Arkansas, they returned nine starters off the defense from last year. They played solid last week against Rice. The game was close for a little bit at 17-17, and then next thing you know, Arkansas is winning at 30. Arkansas is up 31-17 within a matter of like 5 minutes. I'm not taking anything too serious about the way they played last week. I mean, and they held Rice to 17 points, so that's still very solid. I think their defense is really well. I think their offense and quarterback KJ Jefferson is doing really well. I think we'll do really well against. I think they'll do just enough to get the job done. I think Arkansas gets the win here, but I think it's going to be a closer one than many people expect.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on this?
I think that this should be an interesting game here with a lot of different contributing factors, especially with Steve Sarkisian coming into his first year and Sam Pittman in his second year. I really think that this could be a big game for both teams and kind of change the trajectory of both of their seasons, especially with Arkansas or with Texas heading into SEC play in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so real quickly, Rice also, they averaged 23.5 points a game last year. So they weren't a terrible offense. I mean, that was 99th in the country, 8th in their conference, which is Conference USA. But it wasn't terrible. But Texas, meanwhile, their offense looked really good on a solid Louisiana defense. They have one of the best running backs in the country in Bijan Robinson. I think he's up there. It's either him or Breece Hall from Iowa State. Whichever one you want is one. The other one would be two. And then Muhammad Ibrahim, or Ibrahim, however you would prefer to say it. He was pretty close. But obviously, he's going to be out for the rest of the season as he suffered a leg injury in the Ohio State game. It was just announced earlier today, actually, that he's going to miss the rest of the season. So a big blow to that Minnesota defense. But yeah, so back to Texas. They have a really good offense. Casey Thompson looked good last week. Their receivers look solid. But the tight end Cade Brewer and the running back Bijan Robinson were really the two stars off that offense. Or actually, excuse me, Casey Thompson didn't play last week. The freshman Hudson Card did. And he looked really well. But Cade Brewer and Bijan Robinson were the two bright spots, I would say, the two best performers from that game offensively for Texas last week. What are your thoughts on Texas?
I was pretty low on Texas compared to some people this year, just because I don't know whether I fully trust Steve Sarkisian and what went on there under Tom Herman and stuff like that. But generally, I think Texas can be a good team. I don't know whether I think they're going to be competing for a Big 12 championship like some people think they are, but I think that this is a team that has still a lot of weapons, and just because they're Texas, they have a lot of talent. It just kind of depends on whether they put all that talent together. They have guys like you said in Hudson Carr that started off as the starter last game. I'm more intrigued by what this offense will bring, like who will become the wide receiver threat generally. I think that this is going to be interesting to see what Texas does in the secondary to try to stop a guy like in Treylon Burks, who's considered to be a first round pick, maybe even top 10 if he really shows out this season.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? I said I was going to take Arkansas. Give me the Longhorns. I'm going to take Texas in this game. I just think Texas has more talent than Arkansas. It's at a neutral site, neutral field, but it's technically in Dallas. Or no, excuse me. No, it's at Arkansas. At Arkansas.
Yeah, it's in favor.
But still, I think Texas is just too talented. I think they definitely looked much better. Last week, they gave up the same amount, or I think they gave up 18 points to Louisiana. Arkansas gave up 17 to Rice. Texas scored 38 or 40 on, maybe even more than that on Louisiana. And Arkansas scored, I think, 38 on Rice. So Texas definitely looked much better against a tougher opponent. And I think that game last week is going to prepare Texas. They played a really good opponent and they shut them down in Austin. And so I think that's going to prepare them whenever they play Arkansas in week two. I think that this is going to help. I think last week is really going to help Texas to be prepared. Whereas Arkansas played Rice, who isn't a very good team, and they struggled early on and were really and Rice was making that game competitive in the up until I think midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, well, I think that you're not wrong in that, but the only problem that I have with that statement is that I just feel like I have a sense in this game that Arkansas is going to be able to win this game. So I was right about that in pretty much all the other matchups last week. So I'm going to kind of go with that gut feeling. So let's head into the next game, Iowa State. This is probably one of the biggest matchups in the Big 12, Big 10 kind of rivalry, like depending like how this influences if you have a like what goes on in those championship games. Not that they will, both teams can probably still get in because this does not affect your conference play record, but it does kind of affect the stature and the prestige of the upcoming game. So what do you think about the Hawkeyes coming off after their massive blowout of the Indiana Hoosiers?
Yeah, so Iowa beat Indiana 34-6 last week. I know they have to go to Iowa State, but still, Iowa State did not look very good against UNI last week. I think they beat them, only ended up beating them 16-10. Their offense just looked terrible. And I think that offense is going to have to be better. And Iowa's defense played really, really well against against Indiana last week. And they had to shut down a good receiver in Ty Freifogel, who could potentially be a top 3 round draft pick, go in the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft this year, depending on where teams draft and stuff. You know, the draft is very unpredictable, but still, he's a very good receiver. He was Penix's favorite target last year. What I said a couple weeks ago, before just when me and Reichley were kind of talking to each other, you know, this Indiana team lost a lot on defense. And so I expected them to lose this Iowa game, obviously, as I picked last week, and they did. And I expect Iowa State to lose this Iowa game. I think the Hawkeyes keep on rolling, and I'm not changing this one. Iowa's defense played really, really well last week. I think they're going to be able to shut down Iowa State's offense for the most part. And Iowa State's offense didn't look good at all last week against a terrible opponent compared to what they're about to face. And like I said in the Texas game, with Texas and Arkansas. Iowa played a good opponent last week in Indiana. I don't think Indiana is a terrible team. And so I think that with Iowa already playing a good team, I think this is going to prepare them well, and Iowa State struggling against a terrible team. So I got the Iowa Hawkeyes winning here. What do you think about?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that Iowa is going to be the victor in this upcoming matchup of two probably top 15 teams. I think Iowa State's kind of been overhyped a little bit. Just not that they're a bad team by any means, but I think that Iowa State is just they have still yet to prove that they can win in a big game, and by no means should anybody tell me that beating Oregon last year was worthy of anything. So I expect the Hawkeyes to win this game. And to put in a little bit of perspective here, Iowa State has lost the last seven matchups against Iowa. And I don't think they've beaten Iowa in like at their own field in like since the 2000s, early 2000s. So I don't see this as a win, even though I love Matt Campbell as a head coach and I like where the Iowa State program's going. I can't in good conscience pick the Hawkeyes to lose this game. So anything else you want to add before we move on to Oregon or Ohio State? Excuse me.
So, yeah, I think Oregon Ohio State is going to be one of the definitely a top three game, maybe the best game. I do think a problem for Oregon is Kayvon Thibodeau in a walking boot after being injured in the first or second quarter of last week's game. Everybody's reporting different stuff. Fox Sports said second quarter. ESPN said first quarter. Who knows? It's not shouldn't be that hard to report. You know, you just look at what you go back and watch the game, see when he got injured, look at what the quarter was.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I think Oregon's going to play I think they're going to play well, but I just think Ohio State has too many weapons, too much talent, and I expect C.J. Stroud to look a lot better in his second start than he did in his first. So I think the Buckeyes win. What?
Well, I will say this game kind of intrigued me a little bit just because Ohio State did not play very well against Minnesota, but then at the very same time, Oregon did not play very well or very convincingly against Fresno State. So at the moment I just looked up, Kayvon Thibodeau's, status for the Ohio State game. As right now it is unclear, and I'm going to take a wild guess here. They're not going to release his status until they go onto the field. So I think that he will probably play. Unless if that is actually like surgically needed to not play, I think he will. But I think going into the horseshoe, I agree with Lincoln here on this one. I don't see in any world that Ohio State is able to lose this game, even though I wasn't particularly impressed with CJ Stroud or with anything else going on. And I am a decent believer in Oregon more than other people. I like Mario Cristobal as a coach, but the problem is I don't see a quarterback here to lead the Ducks. So even though I really like the Oregon Ducks generally, I'm going to have to pick the Ohio State Buckeyes, especially with that wide receiving core, unless if that defensive line is somehow able to get a rush. I'm picking the Ohio State Buckeyes to win this, unfortunately.
Yep, I agree. I think Ohio State is going to get the win. So I think that wraps it up for this segment, guys. Let's take another quick ad break, and we'll be right back to you with our top to pick the rest of our top 20 games of the week. What's going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us back again. I know this is a long tends to be a longer podcast when us two get together doing this kind of thing. But we thank all of you for listening this far along. So now we're getting to our pick 'em side of things, where we're picking the top 17 or the top 20 games that we think are going to be good competitive games to pick from. Just a reminder, this is going to be a season long thing that we're going to keep track of our total record. This is for a $10 bet. So we're not just picking these games just just picking random stuff just to get, just so if we get it right, we can say I got it right. No, we're actually competing for something. So it'll be fun. Last week, or week one, so right now I'm 9-10. If Ole Miss wins tonight, I will be 10-10. Chicago Sports Network is 12-7. If Ole Miss wins, he will be 13-7. Either way, regardless, he is going to have a 3-game lead on me come week two, because he's leading by 3 now, and we both picked Ole Miss. So he's gonna have a 3-game lead on me, regardless, come week two. But now we're gonna get into the matchups, and we're gonna start picking week two. So our first matchup we're gonna start off with is Western Kentucky at Army. So what are your thoughts on this game? Who do you think wins this game?
So when I first looked at this game, I'm like, oh, Western Kentucky Army, I'm picking Army. But looking more into this game and what I've seen in the past couple of weeks, with a little bit of hype behind Western Kentucky's quarterback, Bailey Zappe, I think is what his name is. I'm picking Western Kentucky here. Like 2 years ago when they played, Western Kentucky beat them 17-8. So I'm a little bit bullish on Western Kentucky here, so I'm going to pick the Hilltoppers to win in a decently close matchup, but I think that Western Kentucky will pull out the win here, even though I think Todd Monken is a great coach. I think that's his name.
I agree with you completely. I'm going to take Western Kentucky. I love their quarterback, Bailey Zappe. Now they do lose a good one in Tyrell Pigram from last year, but I do think Zappe is better. I think Western Kentucky potentially could win the Conference USA East. I think Marshall's in their division with them. Marshall's in there with them. So there are some teams in there that they're going to have to beat, but I think I could see them winning it, winning their division. They really only have to beat Marshall, in my opinion. Maybe Florida Atlantic. I think they're better than Florida Atlantic. But yeah, I think they're going to be able to beat. I think they're going to be able to beat Army in this game. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Army gets the win here. But now moving on to Illinois at Virginia. Who are you taking in this game?
Illinois at Virginia. This is a game that after last week, if Illinois looked good last week, I may be a little bit concerned for Virginia, but they did not at all. So I'm picking Virginia to win this game, especially with this game being in Charlottesville. I think that Bronco Mendenhall team will be able to beat up on Illinois. I think this game could be a little bit interesting just because Illinois seems to control the ball a lot. So I think that this could be a really ugly game, kind of old-fashioned style football, which is what Brett Bielema and Bronco Mendenhall really like. But I expect the Virginia Cavaliers to pull out a victory here.
I agree. I think Virginia is just a much more talented team than Illinois. I've picked against Illinois. I'm 1-0 when picking against Illinois. Let's make it 2-0. I think the Cavaliers get the win. Their offense is a pretty explosive offense, with Brennan Armstrong especially. He's going to be a hassle for this Illinois defense. I don't know how they're going to be able to stop him. He can hit you through the air. He's a great passer, and he can also put it on the ground and run the ball. He's a very good runner as well, plus speed. He's probably a top five scramble runner from the quarterback position in the country. He is very talented whenever he gets out in the open field. And he's hard to bring down on just one-on-one because he's so nifty and has all these moves in his back pocket that he can pull out on you. So I think Virginia gets the win here, and I think they win pretty easily over the Fighting Illini. Moving on to our next game is Pitt at Tennessee. Who do you got in this one?
I got the Tennessee Volunteers. I really liked what they did with Joe Milton, that quarterback, and Josh Heupel as a head coach against, I know it's Bowling Green, but I liked where they were going. Pitt, on the other hand, had a very interesting weekend. I have to remember who they played. I remember, Oh, they played UMass. So I just have a little sense here that Tennessee's going to win this game. I think Tennessee has better weapons. I know they lost a couple players in the transfer portal and their running back and their linebacker, but I still like the volunteers here, and I'm just not a big fan of Pat Narduzzi and Kenny Pickett. I know that a lot of people are, but I'm just personally not a big fan. And I think the ACC took a massive hit this weekend with the Clemson loss, the Georgia Tech loss, and I think they'll continue to take a hit with Tennessee beating Pitt.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree here. Tennessee, I think, is nowhere near as good as Pitt is. They just lost, like you, I mean, you mentioned it, they lost so much to the transfer portal. They lost four or five guys. They definitely lost their best guy. I'm not even going to try to say his name, but he went to move
Henry
on to Dewey, Alabama.
Dewey, yeah, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Dewey, I'm probably wrong, but.
But yeah, so I'm not very high on him at all, or high on Tennessee at all. I'm high on him. I'm not high on Tennessee. And you said that Tennessee had the better weapons. I'm going to disagree there. I think Jordan Addison, the wide receiver for Pitt, is the best weapon on either team. I think Jordan Addison is going to be a first or second team All ACC receiver. Very talented. He's definitely going to play on Sundays. And I expect a big game from him, and I also expect a big game from Kenny Pickett. I'm taking the Pitt Panthers here.
The only problem that I have
– go ahead.
The only thing I will say is that I know Tennessee lost a lot, but so did Pitt, especially in the defensive side of the ball with guys like Rashawn Weaver, Paris Campbell, Patrick Jones, Damar Hamlin, and even guys that didn't play last year. That got drafted. So I think that they also have a lot of losses. So I think that this is going to be one of the more fun and fascinating matchups, but we can go ahead into the next game, East Carolina at South Carolina. So the Carolina Bowl, who do you got here?
I'm taking South Carolina. I think East Carolina could beat them, but after that offensive showing last week, they didn't look very well. And South Carolina, they have the potential to have the best running back room in the country, with Kevin Harris obviously leading the way out of those. I think he's one of the best running backs in the SEC. Looking at my Athlon book, they have Kevin Harris and Isaiah Spiller as the first team all SEC offensive players. So Kevin Harris definitely talented, and I think they're just going to pound the ball and just run it right down. Just run it right down East Carolina's throat. And Marshawn Lloyd also is a very talented back too. But last year, Kevin Harris had 185 carries for 1,138 yards. That averaged out to be 6.2 yards a carry and 15 touchdowns in an all-SEC schedule. So I'm expecting big things from Kevin Harris this year. Not expecting big things from South Carolina, but I do expect them to win this game. What do you think about this one?
So I was never really high on East Carolina to start off with. So I'm definitely, by no means am I high on, South Carolina, but I think that they will win this game. The only thing that I think makes this game a little bit interesting is it is at East Carolina. So I think that that may make it a little bit of an interesting home crowd. But by no means do I think that this is going to be a close game or a good game. I think that South Carolina's defensive line with Jordan Birch and Zach Pickens should really be able to stop any gains that East Carolina has in its tracks. So heading on to the next matchup, this is another one we disagree on, Washington at Michigan. What do you think about Washington and Michigan, especially after Washington losing to Montana, an FCS team, pretty badly?
I think Washington is still a better team than Michigan. Now, I could be wrong on this one, but Michigan, it looks like they might have found a quarterback, but they were also playing Western Michigan. I still think Washington's a better team. We saw a bunch of teams lose to FCS teams and even worser teams, even though they were in the FBS, worser teams like Georgia Tech losing to Northern Illinois. I just think Washington is still the better team. Michigan is so unpredictable. One game they look great. The next game, Ohio State's beating them by 80 points. So I just don't know what to think about Michigan. I still think Washington's a good team. I think they just had week one jitters. I think that's behind them. They're going to be ready to bounce back strong, and I think they're going to beat Michigan.
So my question to you is who do you think the starting quarterback for Washington is come week two? Do you think it's the quarterback that they had last week, or do you think it's the high-impact freshman?
You know, that's an interesting question because Washington, you know, they had a tough QB battle going back and forth. They have two really good quarterbacks, but their quarterback last week, I believe Dylan Morris started last week. He did not play good at all, really, obviously, and they lost 13-10 to Montana. I could see Sam Heward coming in and playing and starting this game. I do think they're going to stick with Dylan Morris. I think Washington definitely has the best weapon in Cade Otton. He's a really dangerous receiving threat. Last year, he led the team with 258 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. But they only played 4 games, so 258 receiving yards in 4 games isn't bad, and 3 touchdowns. So I think Washington has weapons. I do think Dylan Morris is going to start. I think Washington's going to get the win here.
So one more question I have for you, and this is just – I was looking up the stats against Western Michigan, and yes, this is against Western Michigan. But Michigan ran like 3 guys all pretty equally with 14 carries going to Blake Corum, 13 carries going to Hassan Haskins or something, and then 6 carries going to Donovan Edwards. So they really shared the wealth. Do you think that there's a single running back that's going to pull ahead here in Michigan's running back room or not really?
I think it's going to depend on the way the games go, and I think the top 2 backs, whoever they decide that is, they're going to get a good number of carries. But I don't think against a good team, especially a good defensive team like Washington, that you're going to be able to run the ball with 3 backs as effectively as they did. I think they're probably going to stick to 1 or 2 backs, or to 2 backs, probably looking at one guy getting a lot of the majority of the carries. But I wouldn't be surprised if they ran all 3 guys like they did last week. But I just don't think they're going to be able to do that and still win the game. Unless they get up big on Washington, then I think – and I think that's why a lot of them got a lot of carries is because they were winning big on Western Michigan. So the 3rd guy really had a lot of mop-up time to get in and run. So I think, obviously, yeah, if they get up on Washington pretty big, all 3 of them are going to have – right around the same amount of carries. But if it's a close game all the way to the end, I think the number 1 back, whoever they decide that is going to have about 17 carries. Then the 2nd back will probably have around 10, and the 3rd back will have maybe 1 to 4 carries.
Okay, so heading into this matchup against Rutgers at Syracuse, I'm a big fan of what Greg Schiano is doing there at Rutgers. So I'm a big fan of this, and I'm just going to say my pick here. I'm taking the Scarlet Knights to win this game. I don't know why I'm a big fan of Rutgers at the moment, but I am. So they played really well against Temple, beat them 61-14. By no means is Temple a great team, even a great Power 5 team, but for Rutgers to score 61 points is pretty impressive. So what do you think about this game? Who do you have, the Scarlet Knights or the Orange?
I think Rutgers offense last week really showed something that we haven't seen from a Rutgers offense, or really a Big Ten offense other than Ohio State and occasionally Michigan in the past couple of years, with Rutgers scoring 61 points. That's a lot of points. I think that Rutgers is going to get the win here. Syracuse is not very good. Syracuse, the worst team in the ACC. In the Atlantic, they're competing with Duke for the worst team in the ACC altogether. But I think Rutgers is just a much better talented team. I think Rutgers gets the win.
Okay, so heading into the next matchup, Texas A&M at Colorado. Colorado is a really interesting team as they were the surprise team in the Pac-12 last year. What do you think about this game? Do you think that this could be interesting? Do you think that Texas A&M should be on upset alert? They kind of started off really slow against Kent State, but really turned on the afterburners.
I think this should be an interesting matchup. What do you think?
I don't expect this game to be close past halftime or maybe like halfway through the third quarter. I think A&M could be on upset alert for a little bit, but I think eventually their talent is just going to win out. Isaiah Spiller is going to have a monstrous game on the ground, and I think A&M is just going to pound the ball and just physically dominate Colorado the entire game, and I think they'll end up winning by double digits.
Yeah, I think that this is a game that Texas A&M should win, but I'm just intrigued by Colorado here because they went 4-2 last year with their only losses against Texas and Utah. Yeah, they played a Pac-12 only schedule, but I'm just kind of intrigued. So I have A&M winning this game, but I think that this is going to turn into an upset alert game, but I think A&M will win this game. So heading on to the next matchup, another matchup that we disagree on, Buffalo at Nebraska. Scott Frost has really gotten off to a shaky start into his, I think, fourth season as head coach at Nebraska. Wow, that's been a while. But I think they lost to Illini 30-22 in week zero and then beat Fordham 52-7. So going into week three, this is a matchup against a tougher Buffalo team. That almost won the MAC last year. The MAC is a team that has a couple of good teams, especially against weaker Big Ten ones. Who do you have in this game, and what do you think about this game?
I think Nebraska's going to win the game. They're just much more talented. Adrian Martinez at quarterback, I think he's going to have a solid game. You know, he's had a lot of hype. I never really bought into the hype fully. I expected him to play better than he has. But I expect him to have a good game. Nebraska's just much talented than Buffalo. You talked about Buffalo last year with how good of a season they had, but they lost the man who really carried them all throughout the season, and that's Jarrett Patterson at running back. He carried that team through the entire schedule. I think in one game he even had like 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns. But I expect Nebraska to win this game pretty handily, I think by double digits. Plus it's at Nebraska. And Scott Frost is coaching for his life, for his job, and Adrian Martinez is trying to prove people wrong. So I think they just have a lot of adversity or a lot of stuff to prove. They have a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to beat the lesser talented.
Well, I think I could see Nebraska winning this game, but I don't like Nebraska at this point. And then you said that they lost Jarrett Patterson, they lost Jarrett Patterson. But I think another guy that may step up, a guy that had 750 yards last season, and Kevin Marks, I really think that he could be the next Jarrett Patterson. And to be honest, I think he could be better than Jarrett Patterson going into the NFL. I don't know if I think this year he can enter the draft. I doubt he will. He's only a junior. Technically, he's a senior with just – it's just weird with rules. I expect Buffalo to take a little bit of an upset here. So I think that the Bulls will win that one. Heading on to the next game there, we have California at TCU. This should be an interesting matchup just because California got beat up by Nevada. And TCU should be a better one of those Big 12 teams. So I think that this could end up being a blowout. What do you think about this game and who do you have, Lincoln?
I have TCU winning this game. I think TCU, like you said, is going to blow Cal. I think they're going to just absolutely destroy them. I don't even think this game will – I think TCU will be up by double digits by halftime. TCU is a 9-1 team. 8-9-1 team, potentially going to be a ranked team, whereas Cal is going to be lucky to win 5 or 6 games. So I definitely think TCU is going to win this game pretty easily. I don't expect this to be a close game. I got the Horned Frogs all the way.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I got the Horned Frogs completely. I think this will be a blowout. I think the Horned Frogs defense will really show up and show out in this game. And I wonder, the only question I have is how good will their offense be? Because I think that's been probably the biggest question mark for any TCU team in the past couple of years is how good are they going to be offensively? because since Andy Dalton and Trayvon Boykin, they've really kind of struggled at the quarterback position. Max Duggan may be the answer, but we will probably see in these next couple of weeks with California and SMU and Texas. So let's head on to the next game. We got the part one of the Armed Forces. We got Navy, our Air Force at Navy. As I'm in Air Force ROTC, JROTC in high school, so I'm going to be picking Air Force here just because I'm in that. I have honestly, I haven't done that much research into this game, but I'm just picking Air Force for that reason. What do you think about this game? Do you have any thoughts?
I'm taking Air Force because they're a much more talented team. Navy, they only won two or three games last year. They're probably only going to win two or three games this year. They're not very good. Whereas Air Force could win six games. I could easily see Air Force winning six games. So I like Air Force. I think Air Force is going to beat Navy here.
Okay, heading on to the next game. We got BYU or Utah at BYU. This should be an interesting game as this is one of the most intense rivalries in sports. And what I mean by that is it's not a national rivalry by any means, but these two teams truly hate each other. With them both playing in the state of Utah, you have Mormons that go to BYU, and then you have Protestants slash non-religious people that go to Utah. So I think that this should be a really interesting matchup. What do you think about this brother versus brother bowl kind of?
Yeah, I expect Utah to win this game pretty easily. I believe BYU beat Arizona last week or a couple nights ago. I think Saturday, yeah, the night before, so two nights ago. Believe BYU beat Arizona, but I think their hopes of an undefeated season end when Utah rolls into town. I think Utah is gonna beat BYU pretty easily.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that BYU, I think that Utah just has the defensive talent, something that BYU does not have. So I think that BYU, I think Utah's offense could struggle for a couple of drives, but I think they'll close it out in the end. So our next matchup mostly is here just because I'm an Illinois State fan. I know you can't see this because it's a podcast, but I'm wearing an Illinois State shirt here. Illinois State is an FCS team out of the Missouri Valley playing Western Michigan. So what do you think about this game? I know you probably don't know that much about Illinois State, but any thoughts here, Lincoln?
Yes, I don't know much about Illinois State, but I did see where Western Michigan, they didn't play awful against Michigan. Now, they definitely had nowhere near the talent. But they returned eight starters on offense, eight starters on defense. Caleb Elby, a pretty solid quarterback. Last year, he went 99 of 153 for 1,715 yards, 18 touchdowns to only two picks. I think Western Michigan wins the game. Like I said, I don't really know a whole lot about the Illinois State Redbirds. So I'm going to take Western Michigan for two reasons. One, because I watched them last week. They didn't look horrible. They look like they just didn't have the talent to compete with Michigan. And then the second reason, they're an FBS school, so they're obviously going to have better talent because they're an FBS school. Because, I mean, I don't know a kid that wouldn't rather go play FBS rather than FCS for the most part. So I think they're going to have a little bit better talent. And I just think with this being a home game, I think they're going to get the win.
So I will do a little bit of information for you guys. If you do not know Illinois State football, which I assume is pretty much everyone, their quarterback is Bryce Jefferson. He is a redshirt sophomore coming into this year, a pretty mobile quarterback. You have always a great running back room. I'm sure a lot of you guys know who James Robinson is. He was the running back out of Illinois State. And then there were a couple other guys that made the NFL, Marshawn Coprich. I don't know if anybody knows who he is, probably not. Trey Roverson, he plays for the Bears. Christian Uphoff, James O'Shaughnessy. So Illinois State does have some talent coming out of their program. But I think that the Redbirds will take home the victory here. They have played, Illinois State has played a couple of FBS teams, and they have won a couple of those games, notably against Northwestern. And I would say, to be honest, personally, I know that a lot of people don't really know that much about the Missouri Valley, but I'd say the Missouri Valley is just purely better competition than the MAC. Looking at teams like South Dakota State, North Dakota State, South Dakota, Illinois State, Northern Iowa, they're all pretty good. I would say if you put one-on-one matchups, did a MAC versus Missouri Valley rivalry, which they're pretty much in the same area, geography-wise, I think the Missouri Valley would win that challenge. So going into this game, I have Illinois State beating out Western Michigan. So heading into the next matchup, we got NC State at Mississippi State. Last week we disagreed with the Mississippi State game, but this week we agree. Who do you have here, Lincoln, and why?
I'm taking NC State, and the reason why is Devin Leary. Devin Leary is a better quarterback. He's going to be the difference here. NC State's offense is going to be much better than Mississippi State's offense. And Mississippi State gave up 34 points to LA Tech, who doesn't have a great offense in particular, especially not compared to NC State's offense. So I think NC State will put up at least 40 on this Mississippi State defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is going to be a game for NC State kind of as a warm-up, to be honest, because I don't believe in Mississippi State. I picked them last week just because I didn't think LA Tech was that good. But this week I'm definitely going with NC State, a team that I think pretty highly of coming out of the ACC. So heading into the next game, we got App State at Miami. This should be an interesting matchup, as last week we disagreed with App State, and again we disagree. I'm a big Mountaineers fan, I guess. But what do you think about this game, and who do you have, Lincoln?
Miami is going to beat App State. First of all, it's at Miami. Miami got blown out by Bama, so they're going to be coming out looking to make a statement. Derek King is just – Chase Bryce is going to make mistakes against his talented Miami secondary. He didn't make any last week, but that's because East Carolina's secondary is not very good, whereas Miami's is. I expect him to make some mistakes. Even if it's not interceptions, he's going to miss some throws, especially early on in the game. I expect him to be a little rattled. So I expect Miami to win this game by double digits.
Well, I kind of disagree with you. I think that App State, you're just underrating them here. I think that you're a little bit salty that Chase Bryce left Clemson. So I'm going to pick App State here again. I think that App State, I don't like Miami at all this year. And I think that, like I said this before with the Miami-Alabama game, and so did Lincoln, Miami was going to get blown out by that team, Alabama team, and they're great. That's just settled. But I also think that this Miami team, I just don't trust them. And I think, like you said previously, Lincoln, they've lost a lot of defensive talent from last year, and they just don't look like they can stop anyone. So I am going to pick App State here and the Mountaineers to take a second win and the Hurricanes to take their second loss. Heading into the next.
Here's what I want to say about this game, real quick. And first off, not salty Chase Bryce left. Maybe you're just a little salty towards Miami since they beat Notre Dame 41-8 back in 2017. But App State has a good defense, particularly in the secondary with guys like Sean Jolly, who is potentially going to go in the first three rounds of the NFL draft, either this year or next year, whenever he decides to come out. I just think Miami has too much talent. I think Cameron Harris, their running back, is going to have a huge game. And I expect Miami. I just think Miami's a better talented team. I think they just have more talent. And I don't expect App State to be able to keep up points-wise. They only scored 33 on a bad East Carolina. I know 33 is a good number of points, but they should have scored more on that East Carolina team. Because their defense was just atrocious.
Well, I think that this should be an interesting game here. But we got to head on to our next game. This is one of the most lackluster games we've had to predict in a while. It's New Mexico State at New Mexico. I'm just going to kind of wrap this game up a little bit here. I'll let Lincoln give a few thoughts there. But I just think New Mexico State should win this game. And it's just there weren't other games to pick. So this was the game we picked. So, yeah.
I agree. I'm picking New Mexico State. Both of these teams are quite – I mean, they're both going to be pretty bad. New Mexico State is only expected to – I mean, they're expected to go 1-11, and I'm pretty sure their one win predicted by Athlon is at New Mexico State. But you know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to pick New Mexico. I think they'll figure out a way to get the win here. I'm going to pick New Mexico. With it being a home game and the rivalry, I think New Mexico is going to get the win.
Okay, well, heading into our second-to-last game, Stanford at USC. I think, pretty much agree on this game. Stanford is a program in massive decline. David Shaw looks lost as head coach. He's losing recruits. He's losing talent. He's losing games. This Stanford team just looks lost at the running back position, at the quarterback position. The defense is not any good. USC in a big one here in my prediction.
Yep, I agree 100%. I think Keaton Slovis has a huge game. I think the Trojans roll here and they chop down the tree.
Okay, heading into our final matchup before we leave you today, Missouri at Kentucky. What do you think here, Lincoln? And, yeah.
I have Missouri. I think they have the better offense. Will Levis, the quarterback for Kentucky, who plays running back, receiver, punt returner, kick returner, anywhere you want to play him. I just don't think he's going to be good enough to beat a good team like Missouri, who has a solid offense and a pretty good defense themselves. So I think Missouri just has too much for Kentucky to handle. I think Missouri gets the win here.
The only thing I will say about this game that would concern me if I'm a Missouri fan is that Missouri did lose a lot of talent from Tyree Gillespie to Larry Browntree, just overall. So I think that may be a little bit concerning, but I have Missouri winning this game just because I'm not a super big fan of the Wildcats. So that pretty much wraps it up today. Make sure that you are following the podcast. Make sure that you are subscribed to both our YouTube channels, American Football Network, Chicago Sports Network. Make sure that you are ready for all that content. And then make sure you are ready for next week's College Football Truth Day as we head out this for week 3. So make sure that podcast will probably come out either Sunday or Monday. Make sure that you are subscribed and ready to go. Any last words, Lincoln, before we sign off here?
Yeah, just make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channels, like you said. We appreciate all of you listening, and we will catch you next week.